Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Gunn Street Wiring, a micro-instrument electronics company obsessed with overall quality. That's right, they're a new approach to the guitar wiring market. Because, of course, when it comes to music, there is endless variety. But when it comes to your instruments wiring, your manufacturer generally gives you one type. However, Gunn Street Wiring put forth a shiny alternative by creating a massive range of different wiring harnesses suitable for every single musical style. They have a beautiful website where you can navigate around selecting your instrument shape, then choosing between 50s modern and hybrid wiring harnesses, and within that, every single different type of harness you can possibly imagine. It's an affordable mod, and if you go with Gunn Street Wiring, it's a mod you simply won't regret. Check them out, gunstreetwiringshop.com. And welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jay Cross.
Hi, Joe.
And Mark Packham.
Skibbity
wop bop 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 bop. That's right.
What are you doing? What is that?
We've been listening to a lot of Russian pop music. Little Big. That's right. But anyway, welcome.
What?
Yeah, Little Big. Skibbity wop bop 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 bop. Skibbity wop oink oink.
Did this happen before I got home?
Yeah, it did.
So this quite often happens is I get home about 7:15, something like that. And Mark and Joe have just spent about an hour and a half nosing on my girlfriend.
Going down a YouTube hole.
While she's making dinner for everyone, they're there listening to weird agit pop.
To be fair.
And then I come home and I've missed all of it. And Joe is 10 beers deep.
I am a few beers deep.
Mark is 1.5 beers deep. And
which
so
is the equivalent.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we are where we are. So good to know that I miss out on the fun and the games.
You just get to the rubbish bit, which is the podcast.
Yeah, totally.
It's like the warm down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stretching after the big marathon of fun.
Anyway, listener, welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. This week, we've got a whole big fat barrel full of...
Big fat hole.
No, we've got a whole big fat barrel full of news because because NAMM is just around the corner, and with NAMM just around the corner, loads of people are releasing loads of new stuff. So there's lots of cool, exciting things to talk about, which always makes for a more interesting podcast. In the meantime, boys, I've spent a lot of time on the Halo Guitar Builder. Do you remember that? We sort of covered it probably like 2 years ago now.
I saw that absolute monstrosity that you put together this morning, the hollow body in pink with one pickup and like strung through or something.
Yeah,
it was an awful, it was like a kind of like hollow body with a Strat single coil like really aggressively angled at the bridge, and then a tortoiseshell floating pickguard, like the worst guitar I've ever seen.
That looks
and
awful.
A slotted headstock. You're just a nightmare man.
Now, this is the weird thing about that post, because I built that guitar and I was pretty happy with it. I thought it was a cool, interesting, innovative, new, modern
classic, you know, something that could really become a staple, like the Telecaster or the Les Paul. I built that and I posted that. Now, bear in mind, this had a single Tele pickup mounted without the Tele, you know, bridge piece, you know, through strung, floating torque guard. It was a flat top hollow body with no F hole, and it was in satin pink with a bird's eye maple neck with black dot inlays. And the thing that people picked up on was the fact that I had a slotted headstock.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you people? That was probably the only cool... Slotted headstocks are cooler than any other type of headstock. Fight me, surely.
You're an idiot.
But, what about, where do you stand? Where do you stand, slotted headstock and no headstock?
Oh, well, no headstock is pretty cool. But slotted headstocks are cool. I thought that was like a... That was a given.
Yeah, a very small number of acoustics, absolutely fine.
But what about the SG basses of the late 60s?
Yeah, absolute nose up.
Why is that a nose up?
It's difficult to restring.
Why is it difficult to restring?
Because they're just harder to restring.
How? In what way? What part of the process?
Well, they're just more difficult to restring. It's just more awkward.
I don't think that's the thing. People get Bigsby's and don't complain about Bigsby's.
Yeah, I complain about Bigsby's all the time.
We say all the time Bigsby's are an absolute nose to restring.
Well, I think slotted headstocks are cool. And they should be on everything. Slotted headstocks make everything look vintage. It makes it look like you've got a gangster guitar.
What on earth are you talking about?
Well, you know, it looks like there's something about it that looks like classic Italian.
Joe thinks he's like Bugsy Malone.
Classic and Italian?
That's what I think of with a slotted headstock.
Please, please, can someone Photoshop Joe Branton as Bugsy Malone? I don't want to see that.
Bugsy
so
Malone.
Much.
Who was I in Bugsy Malone? Because I performed in that.
Of course you did. Fat Sam?
No.
Knuckles?
Oh, I was Fat Sam.
Yeah, of course you were.
I was going to say Vittorio Vidal, but I think that was Sweet Charity. So yes, I was Fat Sam.
Of course you were.
He plays for Barcelona.
Oh. yes, he does.
Is there any footage of that?
I don't think so, because it was just, you know, a performance at... I think we played a few places, including the Mayflower.
This wasn't at school?
No, this was like a, you know, when I was part of the BBC dance and drama.
School. Don't give it away, because we're still running a competition for if people can find the clip of you on YouTube in some quite famous children's shows, and yet no one has found them.
I don't have a moustache in that.
What, then. Aged eight? Yeah. I mean, what are you talking about?
Please, sir. I started doing it on
sir,
pretty early.
I'd like some more gruel.
Anyway, so this week, you know, we were talking about getting some cabs from Zilla Cabs. So I was thinking about getting a new bass cab, and I mentioned this to Mark earlier. Do you think it would be possible? Because I want to start. So the HX Stomps, the Line 6 HX Stomps turned up at work this week. And I was like, oh, these are actually really good. And anyone who doesn't like them is clearly an idiot or doesn't understand how pedals work.
Good to know.
It's a helix in a tiny pedal. So you have... All of
it's
that incredible
a helix
tech.
In a pedal.
You've got all
You've
of that.
You've got to stomp on that thing now.
But I was thinking I could add it
into... I wonder what that was, and now I realise. Yeah, it was Genie in a bottle.
Ah, the Spice Girls. Anyway, I thought I could... No?
Oh, no, fine. No, that wasn't, right. That wasn't funny, Joe. That, yes. I didn't laugh because that wasn't funny. Christina Aguilera is a saint.
It's a serious business.
You need to grow up.
Sorry. But I thought I could add the HX Stomp into my existing pedal board, therefore not sacrificing my fantastic Petty John Petty Drive 2 and amongst you know, other great pedals, and still have all the cool things on the Helix. But of course, I don't need 20 individual Stomp pedals like the Helix LT provides. You know, I don't need all those different things. I just need a couple. And one of the things that's the biggest advantage of the Helix is, of course, all the preamps and the amp heads. And I was thinking, what if I could integrate an HX Stomp onto my pedal board and then get Zilla Cabs to make me a FRFR 212 with a power amp built in?
The thing about this is that bass cabs the way bass speakers are compared to guitar speakers, they're more like flat response speakers anyway. So
yeah.
I kind of don't know if you actually need to do that.
Yeah, but I need a power amp.
Well,
I?
That's fine, but why does it need to be built into the cab? Why don't you just take like a little Mark bass or something?
Why are you so desperate to buy something that you'll literally never, ever be able to sell because nobody will ever want that?
Yeah.
Because I don't want the Mark bass because I don't want all the additional controls.
Going to the power stage.
But that doesn't really work.
Of course it does. I mean, that's all you're doing. It's just a power amp at that point.
But it doesn't work with some heads. You can't just go into the return
of course you can.
A lot of them.
Of course you can.
Well,
you're just going if they've got.
It seems like a waste to have a head.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what are you
going to
pay for this like magical cab that you're getting?
Yeah,
that's
so
got
that I can
power
just
amp
have a cab,
in.
And then my amp is on the floor, and I don't have to bring a head that I'm not using because I might as well just use the head if I'm bringing a head.
Well, yeah, but then you don't
the
get the sounds or the flexibility of the HXFX.
Yeah, but that's.
But I mean, how I don't. You're not going to save that much space. Like, let's say you were to buy one of those, whatever they're called, Trace Elliot thumbsticks or whatever they're called, that are like tiny.
Elf.
The
what?
The Elf. Elf.
Yeah, it's only 200 watts. It wouldn't do the trick anyway.
Right, but yeah, I mean, if you're going to put like a 500 watt power amp into a cab,
yeah,
the cab's going to be really heavy.
Is it? That's okay. I don't mind weight.
Why don't you just build a little Mark into a cab?
It's not going to be that heavy because, like, a Mackie 350 isn't that heavy, you know.
But this is my other question: is why don't you just buy a PA speaker?
I could buy a PA speaker and get Zilla Cabs to build that PA speaker into.
But why do you need Zilla to rehouse a PA speaker?
Because it will look good.
No, it won't.
Also, at this point, how many gigs are you playing where there's not a PA?
What? No, it's not about. I don't want not a PA. I want a bass amp.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you're just buying a flat response PA speaker and then plugging your HXFX into it,
right?
Why don't you just not have an amp? Why don't you just?
Oh, I don't not want an amp. Then you've got to rely on the monitoring system.
Yeah,
get some quality in-ears.
No, that's what this. That's
listen,
what
mate,
this
you're talking
is about.
To, you're talking to the MI world's two foremost experts in
under 35.
I don't.
In,
I don't
in-ear
like,
monitoring.
I don't like in-ear monitoring or earplugs. I just want an amp behind.
Or
me.
Or earplugs? You don't even wear earplugs.
I don't wear earplugs to play.
Mate, you are gonna be deaf by age 36.
Pardon?
Exactly.
I wear them to listen to bands, to watch bands, but not to play.
I think you are a nutcase.
It's maybe it. Anyway, that's what I'm gonna.
I've been wearing earplugs since I was 19, and it was already too late by then. I had tinnitus then, and I was younger than that. I was still at college. I've been wearing earplugs since I was about 17, and I had tinnitus then, and I've still got it, and it's rubbish.
Well, what do you think, listener? How important is our earplugs?
How important is earplugs?
How important is hearing?
Basically, what we're saying is that you want to build something for no reason that you could easily.
It's not for no reason.
It is for no reason because what you could do.
Right.
I mean, the other thing is, what is this power amp that you're going to be buying?
Like, I don't know. That's what I don't know. I was going to ask Zilla about that.
Marshall 100-100.
I mean, I already have an Ashdown CTM 300 and an ABM 600.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
but...
and I have one of those Tech 21 heads.
Wait, which Tech 21?
They released a head, the VT base head.
Oh, yeah. Well, can't you just build
500?
That into a cab? Like, I don't really know what problem you're trying to solve. That's the issue, I think.
I think the problem is that Joe's bored.
Yeah.
You know,
I've just bought everything.
He's bored. He's, you know, it's getting to that quiet point at work. You know, just knuckling down for, you know, not much going on.
No.
Joe's just trying to find things to do to fill his day. So he's dreaming of weird avant-garde bass setups. Yeah.
Why don't you just learn to build this yourself? That could be a little project for you.
I wouldn't trust me to do that.
I wouldn't trust you to do anything. Don't even trust you to do the podcast. That's why I have to come back every now and then. basically, this is a stupid idea, is what we're saying.
Okay, that's good. I just, you know, sometimes I just need to be talked out of things.
Every day.
Yeah, but potentially. Jay Cross.
Hello.
Jay Cross, you've got some rather big, exciting news
Thank you. I was wondering where that was going. Yeah, I do kind of. So this is something that happened a couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago. It's happened maybe, months ago. You made us not talk about it.
It wasn't months ago. It was a few weeks ago. I have got a new job.
Yes. Jay Cross has moved over to join Mark Packham at Stag.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Now, rocking the Stag.
I'm now in charge of audio at Stag. No, no, that's not what I do.
Jay is in charge of sub £200 non-solid top electroacoustics
and strap-lock
replacements. I'm in charge of sub £250 solid top electroacoustics.
Yeah, we are a great duo. The dynamic duo. Batman and Robin, Beavis and Butthead, Bill and Ted, Bert and Ernie, Mulder and Scully.
Keep going.
I can't think
Come
of
on,
it.
You can do some more.
Barton Milhouse,
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
Jay and Silent Bob.
Keep going. You can do this.
What am I just naming every duo? Every
Laurel
duo.
And Hardy.
That's a good one.
Reeves and Mortimer. We're into this now.
Jeeves and Worcester.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you.
Salt and Pepper.
Sue and Mel.
French and Saunders.
There we go. Yeah, so, but no, that's not what we do at all.
Salt and vinegar. Oh, no.
That's just a... No, we're just naming flavours. Smoky bacon.
Cheese and onion.
Do a duo.
So, yeah, I got a new job. Kind of. It's more an extra part of my current job. So, my existing job is product manager for consumer electronics and audio. At Fender.
Doing the photocopying, essentially.
Essentially, yes. No, I was... so we launched the... Last year and this year, we launched a range of Bluetooth speakers. Been really popular. And... but yeah, I haven't had a huge amount to do with the guitar side of things. But one of the guys that I work with left. And I have taken on his job as well. And so I'm now product manager for... As well as consumer electronics and audio, I now also do all... accessories
which includes
strings and gig bags and cables and tuners, the stuff that I'm actually interested in,
which also includes
all the lifestyle products, so t-shirts, pine glasses, what else do we do?
And
we do bottle openers.
Most importantly,
any spare parts that you need. So pickups, hardware. No, of course, what Joe's angling at is I now also am in charge of guitar pedals for Europe. Fender guitar pedals for Europe. So yeah, really, really cool. I was thinking about it.
So you can expect, listener, that massive oversized Fender Phaser to be coming back
any
day.
Honestly, imagine.
If you can get that back on in the catalogue, I would love you forever.
I've got plans. No, but I was thinking about it recently, and it's funny because basically anything that isn't a guitar or an amp is now my responsibility.
Wait, so you do the chopping boards,
mm-hmm. and yeah, lifestyle products,
clocks.
Yeah, there isn't a clock in the catalogue at the moment.
Really?
I don't think. I could be wrong. There are 3,500 products in my product catalogue, so there are some things that may have slipped through the net.
The things that go like at the end of books,
yep,
on
bookends,
the shelf.
Yep, bookends. We did those. Yeah, yeah. Did really well
bookends.
With those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bookends, Mark.
Yeah, of course. Seems a bit old worldy. Who has books? No one.
So expect some really non-biased guitar nerds videos coming soon. Top 10 Fender gifts to buy for Christmas.
It's the dream.
Voiced by Joe Branton and Mark Packham in sub and higher octave tandem.
That's nice.
Bookends.
Yeah. Bookends.
But yeah, so it's something I hadn't talked about yet because I was still sort of settling into the role.
That is very exciting, though.
It's really cool.
At a time when Fender have actually upped their game for effects pedals, because of course we spoke about it on the podcast before last year. I can't remember what they were called. Were they called Discovery or
there was the competition series?
Competition.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
It.
The
that
old, the old ones from. Start of the decade,
and they were like a super basic, like 20
yeah,
quid.
They just weren't very good.
No,
yeah,
they weren't
good at all. But it was a new project that started. It actually went back a few years. There's a couple of really good videos from when the pedals were announced at NAMM that came out that show the lead designer Stan Coty, who has worked for Fender for a long time. He he's behind most of the kind of big electronics developments of the last few years. So he basically designed the Hot Rod series.
Right.
So like Blues Juniors and stuff, that was all him. But there's some really cool videos from the start of when those pedals came out of him like in his shed putting the pedals together. And it's something that has taken a lot of time, and we're doing right. And there's 9 pedals currently, and more coming. So, very exciting.
It's great. I mean, the Fender, we've obviously spoken about them before, but I think it's incredible.
Or Fender,
we've never mentioned them.
But it's amazing that the pedals came out at such an affordable price point at a time when the standard amount of money to spend on an effects pedal
is going up.
Moved to sort of 200 is quite reasonable now. Yeah. Sort of 250, like, you wouldn't consider an effects pedal like proper pricey until it's in the sort of 350. And of course, with things like the Revival Drive, we saw pedals for the first time this year. Well, not for the first time, obviously, but for the first time in new products hitting like the £500.
Yeah. And mark. I think that was something that I was really glad about because obviously it was nothing to do with me when the pedals were launched, but that was something that I was very cognizant of. Was I thought that Fender kind of does have a license to go and do that if that's what the plan had been. Like, oh yeah, we're only going to make really boutique pedals. They're going to be 300, you know, we're going to be competing with Strymon or whatever. Yeah. But the thing is that I'm glad that that's not what happened, because that's not really who Fender's audience is. I mean, you know, it is to a certain degree, but it's having quality products at like everyday prices, I think. So those for me, the pick of the bunch at the moment is the Pugilist, and that's what I'm going to be.
The Drive.
Yeah, which is
it a distortion?
It is a distortion. It's a distortion, which is quite unusual for me. Like, I've never been a huge fan of distortion. I've always preferred overdrive.
Yeah. Bit more fuzz.
Big fuzz fan. The Pelt Fuzz, great sounding
pedal.
The Pelt
Fuzz is great. Yeah. And actually, there's a really good... I'll tell you what Fender are doing really good at the moment, taking advantage of the fact that so many people play them, is getting so many cool artists to do the videos for all the new stuff. And that extends from having Nick Reinhardt do the Mustang GTs to having the guitarist from Baroness do the Pelt Fuzz. It's so broad.
This is obviously another conversation, and we should move away from it, because there's another big Fender announcement that we're going to be talking about in a minute anyway. But I think it is a very conscious decision to try and be a bit more diverse in...
Absolutely. I've mentioned so many times that Fender core thing was just old punk brands.
Yeah, but brands. Strung people, out, great brand. People.
Love that brand. Saw them a couple of times, great brand.
That was a weird bass, wasn't it?
Just a weird band in general.
Great band. The Exhumation of Virginia Madison, fantastic song.
They're not a good band.
That is a great song.
I've seen them twice. They're rubbish.
No, I've
rubbish.
Never seen them. I'm not bothered.
Anyway, we do have an awful lot of news to get through.
Don't ask me about what's going on with me.
Well, I was going to ask you, Mark, but you've got a broken foot, so I imagine what you've been doing has amounted to not very much.
That's where you're wrong, Joe Branton, because my ankle is actually now healed. It's just a weak ankle now.
But you're still wearing the massive cast.
Yeah.
You still made me wheel you through the train station.
It's just the ankle.
You still made him fireman's lift you up the stairs into my house.
I just like that. No, it's just, you know, just the ankle. Just real weak, so I've just got to wear the boot because it's protective. So
okay,
that's good. There's not much else going on apart from my weak ankle.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
made me not segue.
I'm just letting you know.
Speaking about the things that went on, I went to see. I had a good weekend this weekend. I went to see Architects this weekend.
You did indeed.
Friends of the podcast. Well, friends of mine actually. Yeah. I lived with Dan, the drummer, for 6 months. And we've been threatening to get Ali, the bass player, on the podcast for a little while, and, you know, the other guys. And what's really cool is just today, Adam and Josh, the two guitar players of Architects, won Music Radar's.
Yeah,
Music Radar's Metal Guitarist of the Year. Cool. I mean, that new record, if you haven't listened to it, I would absolutely recommend checking it out.
It's very good.
It's really good.
Too much synth on it for me in comparison to some of the older stuff.
I'm completely the opposite. I think that I found the older stuff more difficult to get into.
Right.
And I think that the fact that the newer stuff is a bit poppier and a bit... It's like both poppier and weirder at the same time.
Right.
I think it's great, but they're such a good live band. I was lucky enough to go and see they do every time they kick off a tour, they play a hometown show at the Brighton Concord 2, which is about 500 cap. You know, their London show this year is at Wembley Arena, which is like 14,000 capacity or something. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. It was great. And the live show is just unbelievable. They're such a pro band.
Such a clinical setup for a band now as well. I don't know what the two guitarists play.
So Adam plays mayonnaise. I think he was playing Sur's for a while.
Yeah, Sur was certainly what they used to play.
Yeah, I think Josh plays Sur, I think.
Right,
And Adam and is more mayonnaise.
Dingwall on the bass player's front.
Right, yeah, Ali, okay. But I saw on Instagram, and actually he was playing it for a little bit at the show, Adam has got what looks like a T-shape guitar.
Right.
In blonde with a black plate, but it's obviously like, I don't know,
8-string or something.
Well, they play 6 strings.
Oh,
they just really detuned. But
they're normally baritone scale length.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's a baritone scale length Tele style guitar Tele aesthetics.
Oh, that's great.
And it looked amazing.
I really like that. But when metal guitars try and be old school, I really liked the first Tosin Abasi, Ibanez.
Yeah.
When it looked like a Super Strat. I loved that it was like retro looking, but 8-string.
But you know, that's not uncommon. A lot the like think about the Matt Heafy. Like that was a pretty. I mean, I know that it was dark and blustery. I'm not sure that's quite the right word to describe that. But you know, it was like a classy looking Les Paul. And the Stephen Carpenter.
I was going to say Stephen Carpenter is a great example.
Yeah. Really, I wish that it wasn't in that like weird green color.
What the sparkle green? Green?
I feel like it's just a bit much. I'm glad that it wasn't just black.
They used to do it in black.
Yeah,
but with white binding and a white plate.
Anyway, I cannot recommend enough. If you get a chance, go and see Architects. Just a great band,
wicked guitar band.
In the UK charts. It's bonkers to me. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Where did the album get to in the chart?
I don't know. It did really well.
Yeah.
I don't know where it got to, but it was definitely top 10, maybe higher.
That's crazy.
Really,
crazy. I'll have a look. But it was, they're such a good band.
I mentioned this to you before the podcast, and I wasn't entirely sure on how it worked because I'd heard it through a friend who was there before the show. Last night and saw the sound check, but apparently because, and this is great to tag on to last week when we spoke about an absolute Kemper failure at a show.
Oh, I heard this. I listened to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, we just need to stop and start again.
Oh, it was and I can't.
There was a story from the podcast
last week
where Joe went to see a band and the laptop. Oh yeah, or yeah, the yeah, Kemper yeah, yeah. died or something.
Sorry,
the laptop died.
No, it wasn't that the laptop died. It was the guy had spoken a bit sort of in the song.
Oh yeah, and then muffed it up.
He'd gone out of sync, and so when he came in, because the backing track was changing all his effects pedals, it was then changing in a different place. And then later on in the set, he'd realized he didn't have his capo, so he had to ask the drummer to pause the backing track, which was providing ambient sounds like in between songs, because otherwise, you know, he wouldn't get back in time and it would all be out of sync. And I was putting that story forward as an example of the limitations of having technology deal with as much as it does, and it really is there any problem with stepping on a few pedals? But anyway, that was sort of the. But I think there are arguments for both sides. I thought that was a great example of Kemper absolutely not working, and the fact that band would have had no problems had he been pressing, like turning his
blooming
drive
on and off.
Yeah, for goodness' sake. But Architects are a complete opposite example of that. This is an example of Kemper working incredibly well. The two guitar players don't even have to do the bulk of their sound check because their sound engineer simply runs clean DI signals of their guitar from the desk into the Kempers, and because the Kemper's dealing with everything, they don't have to be on stage, so he can sort out all of the guitar tones off of...
sound good.
Yeah, exactly.
Effectively, couldn't you do that not with a Kemper?
Yeah, I guess you could. I guess you could do it with any amp.
And just say, oh yeah, we've got like, here's the riffs that we play, I'll just plug this.
But I assume it's also because the Kemper could... They play the whole song and the Kemper would also switch effects. You could certainly run a clean signal into an amplifier if it was any other amp,
yeah.
But you couldn't change the effects...
Yeah, I guess.
Remotely,
I guess,
without sort of a big remote switching system. Whereas this just, has everything.
Just don't use effects, mate. Simple, isn't it?
Well, yes, I guess that is an option. But I just thought that was an interesting example of it working absolutely the other way. And the band being able to sit back, max, and...
Number 18 in the UK album chart, number one in the rock and metal chart, number 5 in the US rock chart, and it broke the US, it hit number 89 in the US Billboard 200, which is pretty big.
Wow, that is impressive.
It's really big for five fellas from, well, actually, no, a couple of geezers from Brighton, yeah. And... You know, they're mates. It's amazing. Amazing. Like, great band. Obviously, like, the story is very close to our heart. And yeah, if you're into heavy music in the slightest, go and listen to the new Architects record.
Absolutely. Now, on that note, we should dive headfirst into a large barrel of news. News. First up in the news, Jay Cross, your boys have released another massive release. Is this the third or maybe even the fourth complete guitar series that is new that Fender have released this year? How are we going to decide what to include GOTY?
So this is the American Performer
Replacing the American Special.
Yes. So
designed to be the most affordable American-made Fender you can get.
Yes. So the American Performer series is honestly, like, fantastic. At face value, you look at it and it's just, oh, it's just a replacement for the Special. It's so much more than that.
Yes, it's so much better than that.
The thing about the...
And actually, quickly, yeah. Listener, this is actually... you're actually getting this news hot.
Oh, totally hot off the press. This is announced today, yeah. As in Tuesday. Well, late Monday night. And, like, the official launch is Tuesday morning. Yeah. So if you're listening to this at 7 o'clock in the morning, which I know some people do, because I often wake up to messages on the Guitarist's Facebook group saying, actually, Jay, you got this wrong, actually, Jay.
Hate you, Jay. Yeah. I agree with the last guy.
Yeah, what was that?
I agree with the last guy.
Oh, with the last guy.
As if it was like a crowd. He's right.
Yeah, someone else. Anyway, whole new series. So the previous range of specials, there was only Strats, Tellies, and a jazz bass, I want to say. Was there a jazz bass?
Sure.
Or P bass.
So I think it was jazz and P's. But to be honest, the specials patchy. There was such a patchy release. They'd be like, here's an FSR special in Matt Honeyburst. And then you'd never see anything from the specials.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Because there was that series of Matt Honeyburst special P and jazz basses.
Yeah,
they were great.
Right.
They were. Remember, they also did the... I'm sure they were specials. Maybe they were standards. The Sandblasted.
They were specials. Yeah, they were specials. And I had an American Special telly, which I absolutely loved. For a long time, I always really found it difficult if ever someone came in with a grand and they wanted to buy a telly, it was always, for me, Baja telly, American Special, choose what you want. But... the whole series has been extended out now. So there is there's the American Performer Strat, Strat HSS, Tele, Tele HS.
Yes!
So I'll run through the range and then we'll go through them bit by bit.
Yeah.
So there's those four. Then Jazzmasters and Mustangs available for the first... Well, actually, there was previously an American Special Mustang, but it was a bit of a weird one. Yeah. It was HH. Whereas this is American Special Jazzmaster and American Performer Jazzmaster, American Performer Mustang.
And the Jazzmaster has a strap bridge.
Yes. As I said, let's go through the range and then we'll go through bit by bit. Then there's P-Bass, Jazz Bass, and probably most exciting, and I can tell you that Joe Branton is quivering in his seat, a proper vintage correct, more or less, Mustang bass.
Yeah.
So okay, let's start at the top and then work down so that Joe, you know, let's okay. just give Joe edge along the way.
I'm maybe most excited about this series just because it's the most interesting. I don't like modern Fenders, but I'm willing to let these ones slide.
So okay, good. Thanks, Joe. So the American Performance Strats, really cool, new pickups. I'm just going to do a blitz through it because we can't go into detail about everything.
Yes, we can.
I don't think we can. There's 36 in the range. So Strats available in Rosewood or Maple. That is Rosewood, not Palfaro.
It is Rosewood.
And the Strats come in Honeyburst, Arctic White, Satin Lake Placid Blue, which is wicked, and Penny, which is another colour.
Like metallic copper.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
It was
nice.
Released
Very
as
cool.
a custom shop colour a few years ago.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely cracking. The Penny looks amazing.
So that's really cool. New pickups on those.
We should talk about that satin blue as well.
The satin cut. So the satin blue, the satin Daphne, is that what I said? Satin Lake Placid and satin Surf Green on a couple of the other guitars. And I have seen those. And they are unbelievable. The finish on it is so, so lovely. So the sort of highlights on this are, of course, keeping on with the American Special, big headstock, which is just one of the things that just I always loved about the Specials. Still got that. They've got new tuners, which are called these classic gear tuners, which look like vintage tuners, but have got
like the
modern
are
rate.
Are they like post tuners, like you post the string in the top, or is it like through?
They are through, okay. I think. Yeah, okay. Because they've got the aesthetics of vintage tuners, but they've got the
post
the,
through rather than down into the guitar.
Exactly. And you've got a interesting little bit of circuitry on there. There's push pull pot, which activates the neck pickup in any position. So nice. I think it's the volume, you pull that up and it activates, brings the neck pickup in any position. So that's really cool. So these are with these new pickups, the Yosemite pickups, which is a whole range that's...
An Apple iOS system.
Apple iOS. Is
it's
it?
Also it's... a mountain and a park.
It's also a place. Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Yosemite Sam.
I had to reshoot the video because I called them Yosemite.
You should just edit it over.
Story.
Come and check out these new
Yosemite
pickups. And then, okay, moving over to the HSS. So again, Rosewood and Maple, three-color sunburst, aubergine, which is another like really interesting looking color.
Like a sort of metallic purpley red.
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminisces, it, I... Reminds
Surprise
me of the candy
it,
cola.
Surprised they call it aubergine when that's not
and
a
not
word.
Eggplant.
That the
I know.
Americans,
I keep wanting to ask someone that. I don't really understand.
It looks like candy cola. It's like a candy apple red with a black base.
Yeah,
color.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is.
But it's also like more purple than that.
Oh, it's
as well.
A lovely color.
Yeah, it looks nice.
So this is where it starts to get really interesting. So the it's HSS, but the humbucker is splittable.
Yes.
Okay, so it's push pull to split the humbucker.
Yeah.
But the thing that's really interesting about this, and one of the things that I've never really liked about HSS guitars, is when you split the humbucker in an HSS, the single coil can always sound a little bit weak because you're not getting the full draw, you're not getting the full current from the pickup. So one of the things that we've done here is the pickup, the out of the two single coils, the pickup closest to the bridge on the humbucker is overwound, and when it's in humbucker mode, the lower coil is tapped. So it's tapped as standard. So when both, when it's in humbucker, you've got the two coils, one of which is tapped, so the output is reduced. And then when you kick it into single coil, it only goes to that one coil, but you get the full overwhelmed coil.
Okay,
so it compensates for the fact that it's been split away from the humbucker.
You know that gif of Julia Roberts where all the maths is
going around? Yeah, I know.
That's how I feel right now.
I've had to explain this to a number of people, and I still can't really get through it other than like sort of bumbling my way through
I think that made sense. And what a brilliant idea.
It really is.
So you're adding to get the humbucker rather than taking away.
The opposite. When it's a humbucker, you've taken away some of the power of the pickup. And then when you cut to only using the single coil of the HSS to make it an SSS, then you've got the full power from the overwhelmed pickup so that it's a lot more balanced. It really is. So I found out about this while I was at Summer NAMM. And
SNAMM.
When I was, I went to Summer NAMM and I hang out in Nashville. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, while I was there, I found out about this. And when I had it explained to me, I was just like, that is genius. I don't understand why that isn't the standard.
It's called the double tap.
It is, yeah. So that's the double tap humbucker.
Double faucet to the Americans.
On their eggplant guitar.
Okay, so that is the... And again, with that, it's... they're all 9.5 and 22 frets as well, which is something that came over from the player series.
Yeah.
22 frets. So again, really interesting. And big headstock. Looks great. Okay, tellies.
Yes.
Yes. So, talk to me about the humbucker telly.
So there's two SS tellies.
Two?
Yeah, well, Vintage White and Penny.
No, there's three, because there's also Satin Sonic Blue with the rosewood board.
Oh, sorry, there's four. Also Honeybuzz, so there's four.
When you said Sonic Blue, you of course meant Surf Green.
Well, I mean, on your website it says Satin Sonic Blue.
It is Satin Sonic Blue.
Joe Branton, have muffed it up.
I made those listings, so they could be wrong.
It is Satin Sonic Blue.
Right.
I know that it is Satin Sonic Blue.
I'm just going to delete something.
four in the SS. So Honeyburst and Satin Sonic Blue with rosewood boards, and Vintage White and Penny. So Vintage White being the same one that the America. Well, yeah, carries the torch of the American Special. That I had, which I absolutely loved. And then this new Penny finish. So I don't know how, but a mutual friend of ours, Mark, Neil Kennedy from the Ranch production house.
I know him.
Last week, great studio in Southampton. Last week, he sent me a text and was like, so I've heard that there's like a new series of guitars coming out and there's a telly coming out in Penny. What can you tell me about it? And I like, obviously I haven't replied because I'm like, well...
These don't exist. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I didn't say anything, but I was like, so there's been like little dribs and drabs have come through, and I think this was the first one that like info started to leak out about, you know, which is bound to happen at one place. But anyway, that's that. That's really cool.
It looks so good. Like,
it looks really good.
I'm kind of in the market for a telly, and the Maple Neck Penny telly looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks really, really good.
Really also, good. Really good way if you are a fan of Robbie Robertson, the Last Waltz Strat.
Yeah.
Because they do the Strat which is the same finish.
Penny with Black Guard. Yeah.
Take the middle pickup out, job done.
Bloody lovely. Yeah. And it probably won't weigh 80 pounds or whatever that bronzed one
did.
Okay, cool. So, double tap. So the HS telly is available. Yeah,
and can you get it in buttercream? Did I see it was in
no,
buttercream?
No, you did not.
Vintage white.
So it's vintage, white,
which looks very similar.
Vintage white and three colour with maple board and aubergine and satin surf green,
which looks great in
rosewood. And again, this has got, so it's a double tap humbucker. Again, same scenario. So when you split it, you get the overwhelmed single coil to compensate for the fact that it's been split. So yeah, really nice use. And I just think that concept is fantastic, using both splitting and tapping to get to balance out the sound really well. So that's really cool. Right, moving over, Jazzmaster.
Oh, yes.
So this is a new model for the range. So there's never been, as far as I can remember, at least in the last 20 years. I mean, there's definitely never a special, but I can't remember there was last an American Jazzmaster at this price point, because it's only recently where the offset guitars, the offset models have been popular. So
hold the phone. This is the same price virtually as the Japanese Paisley Jazzmaster.
Yeah. Will be.
Oh my goodness.
You know, for a long time, the only Jazzmasters that were available were either the Classic Players, which were weird Jazzmasters, or there were the American Vintage, and then, you know, American Vintage becoming American Original. But so £1,000 or so, this is the first time that these guitars have been available at that price point. So again, you got these Yosemite single coil Jazzmaster pickups. The only main difference between this and other Jazzmasters in the catalog are it's got a Strat bridge, you know, Strat style bridge,
which makes it look like it's got a load of excess space at the bottom because there's no big bridge taking up that.
Yeah, and this was the conversation we had off air beforehand, and I do understand that, but I think that's if you want the big bridge,
you can get an American original, or
an American Pro. You know, it's not even that much more money.
Do you know what this looks like? It looks like someone, like a cool boutique company, has made a Jazzmaster that isn't Fender, because Fender always put the full Jazzmaster bridge on Jazzmasters.
Yeah.
And this is like, this tiny little shop in the States is making these cool Jazzmasters, but they've got a Strat bridge because it's a bit more practical, and, you know, they're like most people kind of prefer them and stuff. That's sort of what this looks like, but it's got Fender on the headstock.
So, four colours in this.
I mean, most of those places would probably put Fender on the headstock as
well.
That's true, so, four finishes. You've got the three colour sunburst, the satin Lake Placid blue with a torque guard, which, my word, looks
it's outrageously unbelievable.
So, cream pickup covers, torque guard, satin Lake Placid blue. It looks amazing. It really looks...
When did Fender become cool
again? It really, really looks amazing. The other one that I absolutely adore is the Vintage White. Again, torque guard, cream pickup covers. And then there's also Penny as well, which looks... The Penny with the torque guard, I think, looks really nice. But for me, the pick of those is... And I'm never a big fan of Lake Placid Blue, but that satin Lake Placid Blue with the torque guard is just...
Man, they should have made some with maple necks.
No, I'm really glad they didn't.
But like, it was
so good.
That's just never happened before.
No, but that's why it would have been great. Like, just one finish with a maple neck would have been awesome. I would have loved it.
And then, so the last guitar in the range is the Mustang. So as I mentioned, there was previously a American Special Mustang. Was it American Standard?
No, there was a special.
With two humbuckers. And it was, again, it was push-pull.
Yeah.
And it maybe didn't have a trim.
It did not have a trim. Yeah, it was hardtail.
Yeah.
I really liked that guitar. I thought that was a really quality guitar. But again, four colours in the American Performer Mustang range. So three colour sunburst. Vintage White, which looks a lot like the buttercream. This with the pearl eye guard looks amazing.
Which is my favourite new
And it's
color.
More sort of vintage correct. So you've got a vintage modern Mustang bridge, but still there, 22 frets, 9.5 inch radius, big headstock. It looks great. And then that satin sonic blue and Penny. So that's the guitars. And sorry, I know that there's a lot of info coming out here, but there's a lot of guitars. I'm just trying to ramble through them as quickly as possible.
But bear in mind, these are all American-made Fenders for less than £1,000.
Yeah.
They're not all less than £1,000.
I don't think the Jazzmaster
Jazzmaster's $1,049. The price that I'm seeing everywhere. And then the basses are a little bit more than
£1,000. So speaking of the basses, there's the...
I just looked at the American Performer Mustang guitar.
It's amazing in
vintage. Oh my god!
Doesn't it look good?
That's like the best guitar I've ever seen.
Okay, wait. This is Gear of the Year talk that we're getting into now.
Goodness!
So American Performer so the P basses. Right, four colors.
Yeah. The P basses have a board, jazz pickup on them.
If you
want
to, yeah, I was getting to that. Yeah, I don't interrupt you, mate.
Okay? Oh, sorry, mate.
I do interrupt you literally all the time. So rosewood board, you've got three color sunbursts, Arctic white, maple board, you've got satin, Lake Placid blue, or penny. And as Joe says, they're PJ, which is unusual for an American instrument.
Yeah, I guess you're right. The only place you can get a PJ at the moment, other than the Parallel Universe 51, or whatever they called the Parallel Universe guitar, the only place you can get PJ is the Squire Vintage Modified PJ bass, which is available in Candy Apple Red, Lake Placid Blue, and Sunburst, I think. They're actually really, really good, considering they're sub... like £350.
Yeah,
I'm throwing it out there. This is the thing I like the least in this new range.
I agree with you.
The P bass with the PJ.
Yeah. Just there's no need for the jazz bass pickup. P basses sound great. If you want the jazz bass, get a jazz bass.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody wants a.
I know everyone's not as militant about it as I am, but I like. I genuinely think the P bass is the best sounding bass of all time.
I agree with you.
Just turn it off then.
I would go in further and say that the P bass is
any
the
guitar.
I would say that the P bass is the greatest sounding instrument.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. But like, I don't know. It's something about it annoys me because what they're doing is hedging their bets and they're saying, yeah, but what if some people want it? And it's like, no. You made the decision for them 60 years ago when you made the best-sounding bass of all time.
I agree.
They don't need the jazz bass pickup.
I think it's a shame because I think everything else in the range has at least something that seems that is like vintage spec'd and maybe the or vintage looking. Like you look at the Jazzmaster or Mustang. Yeah. Like it has a lot of its sort of vintage sensibility.
But the Jazzmaster does have the Strat Tret.
I think it's the Torque Guard and sort of some of the color choices. The P bass. I just guess maybe it's the black plate. It just comes across a little bit more modern than the
others. I think it's
not that it's. I mean, we're saying it's not as good as some of the other stuff there. Bear in mind, I think this is Fender's best release this year.
Yeah,
the jazz basses I think are a bit more.
So speaking of the jazz,
quickly, what I was going to say is that the connotation of the jazz bass pickup in the bridge kind of for me makes me think like either like bad 80s basses. Or it makes me think, you know, like, do you remember when Fender did like deluxe active jazzes, active P basses that had like the jazz bass pickup in the bridge?
Yeah.
It's like, for me, there's just no need for it.
I mean, I would argue that I agree to a certain, I would argue that I agree, but that is because you and I, all three of us are, even Joe, despite the fact that he wouldn't like to admit it, are absolute suckers for vintage for like, you know, nostalgia and history.
We're arguing for less for our money, basically.
If the bass
was still 11.49 and didn't have the jazz bass pickup, we'd be going, that's brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
Probably if they were the same prices and there was like one with the jazz bass pickup, one without, we'd probably still go for the thing. Like, we're basically arguing against great value.
Exactly.
Here. But it's the connotations of
having that. I understand that. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, moving on. I haven't got a leg to stand on here. So let's move quickly on jazz bass. I'll leave this to you because it's more your wheelhouse.
I absolutely love jazz bass, and I think I'm really happy that the Satin Surf Green is available on the jazz bass with a maple neck. Slight shame they've gone for a black pickguard on that. I just think a perloid would really work.
But that kind of goes out through the whole range, isn't it? A lot of them are black pickguards.
Yeah,
so
that's true. Yeah,
I think that looks great with the black pickguard.
It does look cool. I agree.
The satin surf green with the black pickguard, I think looks amazing.
So Satin Surf Green and Penny available with a maple board, both, you know, absolutely cracking, completely original Fender colours. Like, what a completely unique instrument that you've got an opportunity to get. And then for the more traditional suckers like myself, you've got a very fetching, really nice three-tone sunburst with a black plate, which is absolutely up my street. That's how I have my 60s lack of finish jazz bass with a black plate and in that finish, absolutely gorgeous. Then also available in a very punk rock Olympic white with a black guard, absolutely cracking. But the most important bass,
and the thing for me that I think is just the absolute piece de resistance of this whole range is the Mustang bass.
I'm over the moon that this has been introduced.
Mustang bass, again, available in four colours. So three colour Sunburst, Aubergine, Satin Surf Green, and Arctic White, all of which come with a perloid plate.
That's the best bit.
And I fear that we're going to have exactly the same discussion here that we had with the P-Base, in that it's got a proper classic split coil Mustang bass pickup.
Yeah.
And a jazz bass pickup.
Mistake.
Yes, I do agree. I'm going to buy one of these. Like 100% I am sold on one of these, because I want a Mustang and I can't get one in the range without that PJ.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I think this is better than 100%. a PJ. Having that proper Mustang
and the pearl plate
plate just looks unbelievable. That, and we've sort of, we had a bit of an argument, you know, fist fight about it earlier. Joe was arguing for the Sunburst and I was all about the satin Surf Green.
I'm between the Sunburst and the Aubergine, to be fair, but really, I think I am erring on the Sunburst.
So normally I would always move away from Sunburst. I've never been a huge fan of Sunburst, but the burst on this is like a real nice, almost tobacco Sunburst.
Yeah.
And with that perloid plate, I just think it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Do we know the colours that are not listed as satin? Yeah. Are they gloss?
Yeah, they
finishes.
Are.
I have to say, if they had released the Mustang in vintage white, I'd have probably bought one today.
There's a white, but not vintage white.
Yeah, it's an Arctic white.
It's just, I wonder how these will wear, because things like the Satin Surf Green, or, you know, any of the satin colours, they're still listing it as poly rather than nitro.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wonder how that'll wear down. I wonder what, like, Highway 1s and stuff, were they nitro? Were they...
They were nitro.
Yeah. They were so nitro.
They weren't
the Highway
satin.
Ones, yeah.
They were just a thin coat of nitro. It's very, very different.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what those... Because those colours look the best, I think, out of all of the ones on here, you know, the satin colours.
Yeah.
And if they
feel really nice. And I mean, obviously, it's difficult to say. I tried them straight out the box. I mean, I first tried these in maybe May or something. Right. Like, so I've known about these for quite a while. But the
I can't believe you never spill the beans with us.
I know.
I can't believe you knew
Matt
about
tells us everything.
An American.
He doesn't really. He tells us nothing.
He does tell us.
He doesn't tell us.
Oh
things.
No, yes, he doesn't tell us stuff.
He doesn't tell us anything. Wink.
I know. There's still, like, even today, there are things that before we were podcasting, there was a conversation that came up, and there's something that I know that's coming out that you would be into relating to the question that you were talking about. And I'm not gonna tell you what it is.
I can't wait for Fender dressing gowns. It's gonna be amazing.
Well, seeing as that's now my product line,
yes.
I'm all into it. Like, absolutely.
If you bring it,
I tell you what, any ideas that you've got, I'll just see what I can do.
Here's an idea for you. You bring out Fender pedal bed covers before Matt can get them out for the BED one.
Imagine.
But you could actually do that.
I know, yeah, I literally could.
You've got the power.
You've got to do it.
I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
So that's about it, isn't it?
I mean, I'm absolutely exhausted.
I have to say, I've included a substantial amount of other things in the news, but we're actually not going to get...
Have we out of time now
already? We are pretty much...
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I did as much as I could to blitz through it, but yeah, just...
Should we do the other news in the Patreon?
Well, listener, we hope that you've enjoyed the Fender podcast here.
Second week running, Fendercast.
Stop releasing so much bloody stuff.
It's true. Yes, we will cover some of the other stuff because there are some interesting things. Dr. Z have released a new really cool amplifier that I want to talk about. Gibson have added BB King to their Gibson legacy artists. To be honest, I didn't realize he wasn't already one of those, but apparently that's a big thing. And Electro Harmonix haven't released a load of new compressors. They've released something else entirely. So yeah, there's a ton of stuff to talk about, which yes, I guess we should natter on about in the over in the podcast,
the Patreon. This is the podcast.
Yes,
they're Patreon. Both podcasts technically, but you know,
not technically.
Well, no, literally.
They are both. Yeah, they're both podcasts.
Yeah,
that is true. But yes, that is it for us here on the regular podcast. So we'll be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support
the Guitar Nerds podcast.
$1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to bonus features and mini-series. $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honor of having your name read out in one breath by me.
Do you think you're ever going to be able to do that without reading it off of your computer?
No.
Like you obviously do every week.
I know it. I know it's always quite obvious because I lose my place. I have these little cue cards that come up. They've got little times next to them, so I know when to start.
When to breathe. when to thank the crowd.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe one day. I think, Mark, when you did this, you'd do it off the cuff every week.
I just use my old brain hole. It's filled with all the stuff.
Terrible. You also used to do the podcast without drinking.
Yeah. Or trousers.
That is actually also true. Listener Mark Packham does... he has some sort of a rashy reaction to trousers when podcasting. So.
That's what I tell them. Are you going to read the names?
I'm going to read the names.
I'll do the backing track. It goes.
What are you doing?
Skippity wop pop pa.
Oh my god!
Skippity wop pop pa pa pa. Skippity wop pop pa. Skippity wop pop pa pa pa. Skippity wop pop pa.
Duncan Watson, Adrian Day, Eden Jebediah Bartier, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Stephen Dunready, Gordon E. Richard III, Merritt Peters, Sean Armour, Christopher Tomlinson, Robert Cousins, Rob Kuhl, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Robertson, Ernie Cooper, Nate Dagan, Ross Edwards, Christoph Ramsey, Ross Connacott, Matt Roberts, David Lee, Henry James Baker, Brian McDowell, Ron Curry, Blake Wyland, Aaron Sherman, St. Gray, Matt Bellamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christoph Rosen, Robert Smith, Hanson, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Rob Nodwick, Steve Merkin, Mark Ross, Carlos Mantra, Anna McKenzie, Brad Braid, Blair Thomas, Laurie Anstis, Will Kerrigan, Will Clare, Moog, Rabbit, Bill Thompson, Colin Anderson.
Okay, you need to start paying more attention to the people in the middle. They're being shortchanged.
Who would you like me to...
Just the only name that I heard in the middle of that was Hans Ams. Like, there's a lot, all the names, both, I reckon, five names either side of Hans Ams.
Martin Cliff, Scott
Kennedy. No. What are you doing? Stop.
Hans Ams.
You're rushing it. Well, when you do the breathing, you've got to breathe more. Rich. Your face looks like a slapped ham.
No. What you just need to do is you need to do it properly.
Andy Joyce. Rob Nordvik. Do you know what? We've been doing the one breath thing for so long. I feel like it's time for a refresh. Maybe I should do, like, sexy name reading. Duncan Watson, Ethan Jebediah Bartier.
See, you're naming, despite like being on this podcast for a long time when you've been reading out these names and Matthew listening to it every week. I haven't been on it. I've never heard Duncan Watson before.
Oh, that was a new one. He's only been on there for a week.
Oh, that's why.
Duncan Watson. I'm getting his money's worth, so he keeps paying.
Right.
Duncan Watson. It's a good name as well.
Or maybe
good.
What you're doing is
Hans
Ams. He's got too much for his money.
Hans.
Too much. Stop. You're giving people too much for their money. Listen, Blake Duncan, Wyland. I'm sorry, Duncan. I realise this is only your second week, but we're actually going to have to bill you for another couple of weeks because
Blair
Joe's read
Toms.
Your name out too many times.
Tony Blair Toms.
Finish the podcast.
God. Well, there you have it. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds or on YouTube at Guitar Nerds Videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where
Don't
all of
that.
Our various channels are displayed
Don't
in all of their
that.
Glory, and you can even purchase
Don't
Guitar
do that.
Nerds merchandise and become a true member of the club.
Also, speaking of the Instagram, you haven't posted anything in maybe a month.
Lazy.
I've been moving.
Lazy.
I've been moving house. Now that I've moved, I will post some more stuff. Anyway. That's it from us for this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Skibbity wop ba ba.